Good morning, everybody. Praise God. As you are working your way to your seats and finishing your conversations, we have some announcements to tell you about today. God is so good. We are excited about what God is doing in this church and in this community and what he's going to do today in our lives today. You know what today is? Today is Pentecost Sunday. How many people... When I say the word Pentecost, that sounds a little bit interesting, but let me break it down a little bit for you. So Pentecost, we hear this in the Bible. It was 50 days after the disciples were waiting, and 50 days later, it was on the day of Pentecost. We read in Acts, it says the day of Pentecost was there. It was this festival that they had, and they were all waiting. They were waiting because Jesus had died, and Jesus was like, hold on, I'm not going to leave you all by yourself. I've got a promise for you. There's going to be some great things in your life. You're going to have power. I'm going to bring healing. I'm going to bring changes. I'm going to come live inside you. And they're all like, when's this going to happen? And then the day of Pentecost comes. And it says they were all together, just like this. And they were all worshiping and praying and praising God. And it said the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Spirit came into the midst of where they were. And it changed their lives. And there was healings. There was people filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we are actually a church that experiences that Pentecost every Sunday. And while today is Pentecost Sunday, it's essentially, we could call it a religious holiday or something, but we're remembering back to what God did all those years ago to the apostles and saying, God's still doing that today. Because in Acts 2, when Peter went up to preach, he said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to everybody that is afar off, even the people in Dane County in 2024. I added that part, but he said, all that are afar off. And so today is a day you should be expecting something great. God wants to do something in your life. Whatever you bring into this building, whatever distractions, whatever worries or doubts, God has something great for you today. If you're a guest, thank you for being here. It's just so excited to worship God with new people, with different people, even with the same people. We just love connecting with God together. And we have a little booth outside if you want to. We'd love to connect with you, learn more about you, offer you a Bible study. If you want to learn more about God, say, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to read the Bible. Hey, I've been there, right? We'll have somebody sit down with you and say, hey, let's just read the Bible together and talk about it. We offer that here in this church. You can fill out a little questionnaire. We'll get you that. We also have a little gift for you if you fill that out. If anyone feels compelled to give at any point, we have an app you can give on. You can give online. There's boxes in the back. You can give via the mail. There's opportunities to bless the kingdom. And then a little bit of a business note. Every year for the state of Wisconsin, we have what they call Family Camp. And Family Camp is where all the churches in the state of Wisconsin that have a similar, the same denomination, the United Pentecostal Church, they all get together at this area up in Shawano. And it's 5 days. Here you go. Look at all this information. There's kids' churches. There's evangelists. There's morning teaching. You could drive up there every day. You could stay at a hotel up there. You could take your camper and tents up there if you can register. But it's taking place June 30th to July 5th. If you'd like to stay on the grounds, be sure to register by tomorrow, May 20th, to avoid a late fee. There's a little QR code. There's also signs along the back. If you're not scanning it right now, you can check that. And we got that. Let's all stand this morning. How many people want to just take another step with God today? Right? I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've been a Christian your whole life or you've never been a Christian. And you're just here because you're testing it out. If you want to take a step with God today, it starts right now. Let's pray that God, okay, I'm going to lead us in prayer. But we're just going to pray that God speaks to us this morning. Wherever you're at, pray that God speaks to you. Whatever need you're bringing forth, just tell God, God, I'm bringing this depression today. I'm bringing this addiction today. I'm bringing this struggle today. God, I don't have you living in my life. Today's a chance. God, I'm going to submit to you today. Let's pray that God has his way, and then we're going to worship God as a group. God, have your way this morning, God. We are so grateful, Father, that you are here. That you are in this place, that your Spirit, God, is guiding us, that your word is going to be spoken into our hearts and minds. God, Lord, we want to hear from you. God, we want you to have an impact on our life. God, we want to connect with you, God. And God, whatever we're bringing, God, I give you our depression, God. We give you our sadness, God. We give you our addictions, God. We give you all the distractions that we might be bringing to this place, God, and we want to hear from you. We want your spirit to be inside of us today, God. Lord, have your way in this service, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him this morning.
Raised hands to the Lord right now. Let's just all pray. Would you do me a favor right now? Would you just pray out loud with all your voice, all your hearts? Lord Jesus, we thank you for being God. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary, Lord. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your cross. We thank you for everything. We just thank the Lord right now. We thank you for forgiving sins, Lord. We thank you for forgetting our past, Lord. We thank you for what you've done, Lord, and what you're going to do, Lord. We thank you for the healings, oh God, that are happening right now in your presence, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. Hallelujah. Let your presence, oh God, have control today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus. The Lord is in this place today. Amen. He is here. If you have a prayer, you have a need, you have a desire to get closer to God, today is a great day to do that. It's Pentecost Sunday. Amen. We're going to get to our preaching a little quicker, but right now, if you would be seated, we're going to just, today we decided that we're going to read some of the scriptures about Pentecost to just set the story. You know, at Christmas time, we tell the Christmas story. So today we want to tell a little bit of the Pentecost story. And so I'm just going to read some scriptures, and we're going to have Pastor Roy come right up here to speak in just a few moments, all right? Today is Pentecost. Say with me, Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. In Leviticus 23, God instituted a new calendar for the newly formed nation of Israel. While it served as a religious holiday calendar for Israel, these high and holy feast days contained prophetic keys for the timeline of the church. Passover was prophetically revealing that Jesus would die as a lamb in our place to take away the sins of the whole world forever. The feast day of first fruits was another one of those that we find in Leviticus 23. Prophetically reveals that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that he would rise on the third day. Amen. Pentecost was another one of those feast days, and it prophetically reveals that the Holy Spirit would replace the old law and write a new law on our hearts. Amen. The Feast of Trumpets would also prophetically reveal that we will meet Jesus face to face one day during the rapture. The Day of Atonement was another of the feasts that prophetically reveals the final triumph of Jesus Christ over Satan here on earth, and we call that the War of Armageddon. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles that prophetically reveals that the church will dwell with God for all eternity in heaven. Amen. Amen. Some of these events, these prophetic events, have already happened, and some of them are going to happen in our future. But today we celebrate the day of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday. It's a Thanksgiving celebration of the law and the harvest for the Jews. But for us, the church is a spiritual harvest celebration, a day of Thanksgiving for God giving us the church, but also for giving us the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day the church started, the day of Pentecost. Many prophets prophesied about the future coming of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus himself prophesied many times of the future arrival of the Holy Spirit in the Gospels. But we don't see him setting up the day of Pentecost until we read it in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, he says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Amen. Verse number 6 says that when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus gave his disciples the great commission at the end of the Gospels, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. But he commanded them not to do anything but pray until they had received the promise of the Holy Spirit for themselves. Amen. We can go to the we can go to Acts chapter 2, which happened just 7 days later from these verses, and see that the Holy Spirit was poured out and how that prophetic role of Pentecost was fulfilled. Let me read that for you in Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, this would be something. If you haven't looked into the scripture, you should put to memory. You should read this all the time, because this is the most amazing portion of scripture that I can find in the Bible. It talks about what God wants to do with us. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Scripture goes on here at this point to list 17 different cultures that were represented in the crowd of thousands of devout Jews who lived all around the world that were there for the Feast of Pentecost. Verse number 11 states that they all heard them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Amen. Verse number 12 says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? And others mocked and said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be ye known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And Peter goes on to quote Joel's prophecy. In verse 17 it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," which is the last verse of Joel's prophecy. Starting again in verse 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, he hath taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And the next 10 verses of Peter's sermon explain that David's prophecies were all about Jesus, highlighting Jesus' resurrection from the dead and mentioning the proximity of David's tomb that was nearby on Mount Zion, which many of these thousands of devoted Jews were probably no doubt there to see. And he concluded the sermon with a very harsh revelation. In verse number 36, it says, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And with this question, Peter issued the command to obey the gospel. When he said, And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and the title of our message today is Experience Pentecost. Experience Pentecost. We live in a world today that is flooding our minds, our hearts, bombarded every day with voices calling us to experience what they have to offer. We have deals upon deals flashing across our computers, our phones, our signs, billboards. My wife and I got new phones, and the thing that I hate most about it now is they seem to have grossly updated their ad campaign to where that you can't watch the weather, you can't open up any app, read any news without being bombarded with stuff. Deals. They got this deal, that deal, all seeking for us to experience what they have to offer. And you can look as you drive from here to your home, or you drive north, and you can see all the way on the border of Wisconsin and down into Illinois, you can see billboards that tell us to experience Wisconsin Dells. Ride the ducks. Come to this water park, that water park. We're the largest in the world. We've got the biggest water slides. Your family's going to love us. Come. Experience the Wisconsin Dells. Years ago, I took my daughter to Disney World and in Florida, and it was a whole nother experience. I've never experienced anything quite like I did there at Disney, and it was quite the experience, but you see experience the sounds and tastes of Chicago. You get down to Chicago and you see billboards to come down and experience this, experience that. And none of these experiences have the ability to calm an angry mind. None of these experiences have the ability to soothe a troubled soul. None of these experiences have the ability to mend a broken heart. So today I ask each and every one of you to stretch out your faith, to reach out of your comfort zone. If you're tired of your trouble, you're tired of your brokenness, you're tired of being angry, I'm appealing to you today that there is something that you can experience before you leave this place that will change your mind forever. That is the experience of Pentecost. Years ago, we used to have a track that we put out in the vestibule in our track rack, and people could come and they could select. And one of those tracks was Pentecost is not a religion. So many people look at today as Pentecost is a religion. Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is an experience. You are here today to experience Pentecost. So let's take for the next few moments a little journey into Pentecost. Brother Jerry has read for us Peter's message at Pentecost, and we have in these verses is only a summary of all that Peter said. And he said in verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, meaning that everything he said wasn't recorded, but he says, save yourselves from this untoward, this crooked, this deceitful, this sinful, this wicked generation. The skill and wisdom that Peter showed that day when delivering this sermon was a sign that something wonderful had taken place in his life. Now you have to understand, just 50 days prior to this was the Passover weekend where Jesus was crucified, and it was Peter who denied Christ three times. We seem to see a very different Peter on the day of Pentecost. This was not a mere eloquence of man. It was a message that was preached with an anointing from the Holy Ghost that was sent down directly from the throne of heaven. And we must understand when we begin to peel apart Peter's message, that Peter's message was really quite simple. A lot of times we come to church and we like to hear those complicated messages. I've had people come and say, "Pastor, when are you going to preach something that's got some real nuggets, some real meat into it?" And I look at the scripture and I look at salvation and it is so simple. Why make it any more complex? It was message. It was simple. It was common. It was down to earth. See, Peter was a fisherman. He was simple. He was common. He was down to earth. He was totally familiar with failure. Those who heard him preach didn't have to go away. They didn't have to go and ask the scribes or the Pharisees. They didn't have to go to their dictionary. They didn't have to go to Google and look it up and find out what was he talking about today. Everyone there that day knew exactly what Peter was talking about. And just, it is the duty of a preacher. It is the duty of a minister to make the message so simple and clear that everyone here, from small to large, young to old, can understand. We have to understand that Peter's sermon that day was full of scriptures. There are 23 verses at the heart of Peter's sermon, and 12 of those verses are quotations from Old Testament scriptures. He quoted from the book of Joel to show that those who had witnessed the events of Pentecost were seeing a partial fulfillment of their own prophecies. He then quoted from 16th chapter of the book of Psalms to show that David had foretold the resurrection of Christ. And he quoted from the 110th chapter of Psalms to show that the resurrected Christ is standing at the Father's right hand in heaven. Peter preached the word. His sermon was full of scriptures. He wasn't taking and peeling quotes off of the Jerusalem Times or perhaps the Daily Chronicles of their time. And so many times we have preachers today that they preach their own ideas and they preach their own philosophies, and all week long we hear about Washington and what's going on with the Trump trial and all of this other garbage and junk. We hear from CNN and NBC and MSNBC and Wall Street and Main Street and Hollywood's telling us how we ought to act and behave and what we should watch and what we should do. And on Sundays, we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from heaven. Our pulpits across this country, sad to say, are void of preaching that's willing to stand up to the boldness of truth. This word of God is truth. I don't care what your woke crowd says, what they like, what they don't like. You can cancel me. I don't care because I got nothing on social media to cancel. I'm just an independent contractor for the Word of God. You can't cancel somebody that's already canceled themselves. Too many of our pulpits, they're not Bible preachers, they're organizers and promoters, and we have youth directors and money raisers, and they fail to diligently preach the truth in the Word of God. Preachers are called to preach the Word. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:2, his sermon was pointed. Peter did not soft-pedal the issues. He got right down into it, and he said to the crowd, "You have taken Jesus." Let's put this in a little bit different. You have taken your Messiah. You were ignorant. You were stupid. You wouldn't listen to him. You rejected him. You took him out by your own wicked, corrupt hands. And you crucified him and you slew him on a cross. Actually, they had the Romans do it for them because they didn't have the guts to do it themselves. And some of the people who were there that day, on that day of Pentecost, they were there at the Passover. They understood. And as they were listening to Peter preach, they were the very people who had joined perhaps in the cry some 7 weeks earlier when they shouted out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Peter spoke
boldly to them. We've been talking about boldness. You have taken him by your wicked hands and you have crucified him. Now, if you want to take and preach and win people over, and you want to win through your influence, which Peter had very little influence with the people, understand he was a fail fisherman. And he had his own struggles that he was dealing with. But Peter spoke boldly and said, you've crucified him. This bold preaching, that bold preaching that day. He was saying, it was you. It was you. You're the ones that did this. That's pretty blunt. He didn't deal in generalities. He didn't beat around the bush. He brought the charges home and declared that they were the very people who had part in the wicked act of crucifying Jesus. His sermon was Christ-centered. His sermon exalted his Savior. He spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and he knew who Jesus was, and he used the scriptures. He used what he had at his disposal to point them to Jesus. And at Acts 2:36, he declares that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Now we read a little bit later in Acts chapter 8 as Philip is taken away in a whirlwind and he meets the eunuch on the road to Gaza in Acts chapter 8 and 8:35. He says to Philip, Philip says he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. I can see Philip as he's sitting on the back of that chariot, sucking in sand from the desert as the horses kick up sand. And he says, you want to know about what you're reading? Because he was reading in Isaiah. And the eunuch says, I don't know unless somebody tells me. And Peter says, or Philip says, let me tell you who he is. He's my way maker. You need a miracle? He's my miracle worker. He's the light in the darkness. The result of Peter's message that day, it was a powerful result. There was conviction. Understand something, conviction. God convicts, Satan condemns. If you're sitting here today and you're full, your life is just a wreck, and you feel condemned, it is Satan that is condemning you. Jesus Christ will convict you, just like the day of Pentecost. There was conviction. The verse 37 of chapter 2 says the people were pricked in their hearts. We can put this in a little bit more modern vernacular. Peter got under their skin. Peter got down right inside of them, and he began to root around inside of that hardness and that bitterness. When the folks in the crowd asked Peter, what are we going to do? What should we do, Peter? We've already killed him. We watched it happen. What are we going to do? And Peter's like, oh, yeah, there's another part to this story. He tells them to repent. You know why most of us have problems ridding ourselves of sin in our lives? This is going to hit home. I'm going to prick your heart right now. It's because we have pride. And pride tells us that we are good people. I'm a good person. What does Scripture say? It says, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, saved by grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Now, these conditions, understand, involved faith and repentance. Repentance is a complete change of course and direction. That means you come in here today, you're broken, you're frustrated, you're perhaps angry. You know you've got things in your life that are wrong, you shouldn't be doing, and you want to change that. Repentance is before you leave today, you come to this altar and you say, God, I'm going to change today, right here, tonight, or today, this hour. I'm going to change my course and my direction in my life. And baptism is an outward symbol of an inner change. We're to be buried with Christ. We're to be buried with Christ in the name of Jesus. Just as Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is speaking in tongues. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. And Peter preached this. They responded. And 3,000 people that day, 3,000 people that day received what he preached and were baptized. You see, the message that Peter preached for bringing people to Christ is the exact same message today as it was in that first century. When Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. What was the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today, God is calling you to step out in faith. He's calling you to step out in repentance. He's calling you to step out into baptism. And he's calling you to step out and accept the gift that he has for each and every one of us, and that is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When we look at that early church, their church meetings, they didn't have complicated services. There were no big programs. They had no gadgets. They had no entertainment. And the church was a company. It was a group, a community of born-again believers who gathered to listen to the word and to bear testimony to the goodness of God and to pray. I told Brother Jerry, I said, I want you to read verse 42 in here because this is all part of the Pentecostal experience. Listen, it starts with repentance and baptism and the Holy Ghost, but that is just the beginning of your Pentecostal experience. Listen, you can. We used to joke in construction. We would witness the guys and it came, do you have your ticket? You got your ticket? Is your ticket punched? Listen, you can go to Disneyland. You can buy a ticket. You can stand right outside the gate. You can get your ticket punched. But until you step through the gate and you begin to walk through the corridors and the streets and you begin to experience Disney, it's the same thing here. The Holy Ghost is your ticket. You get your ticket punched. And you step into an experience of Pentecost. And what is that? They continued in the book of Acts. The apostles' doctrine. They met frequently. They came to church. They shared. The early Christians, they focused their energies on listening to the ministry, to the men of God, the apostles preach. And no Christian can grow in holiness unless he or she devotes time reading the Bible and studying the scriptures. Because you see, it's the word of God. It is through the word of God that sanctifies us, that purifies us, that helps in the process of turning us into what God has designed and called us to be. The more we know about the word of God and the more we apply it to our lives, we can rejoice in its promises. Yes, we can tremble at its judgments. And the more we love what is just and what is good, the more we will hate what is displeasing to God.
That's why here at Calvary, we use the same methods used by the apostles. Back then, we have our elements class where we teach biblical doctrine, sound biblical doctrine. If it's not in here, we don't teach it. We have our first steps class. We have home Bible studies out in the vestibule. We have a home Bible study display set up today. You could take a 9-week Bible study that may be 10 weeks or 12 weeks, however you want it to be, or you can have something as short as 3 or 4 hours. Whatever fits into your schedule. We have connection groups. We have prayer meetings, all firmly built on biblical doctrine. You see, there's something wrong with a person who does not find joy in worshiping together with other Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to go to church. I don't want to join up with any other. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Are you going to have this little corner where God's just got this little place all fixed up, where you got your own little 40 acres in the backside of heaven? We're all going to be worshiping around the throne. Men and women from every nation, every race, every language. The breaking of bread. They loved potlucks. What's the first thing we're going to do when we get to heaven? There'll be 30 minutes of silence, and then we're going to sit down and have the most awesome, massive potluck you've ever seen in your whole entire life. Yes, and they prayed. They prayed. They say a family that prays together stays together. A church that prays together stays together. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. James 5:16 tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, the second chapter of Acts tells us about the coming of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament age. And that Holy Spirit is a power and authority, and it's an ever-abiding presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit is present here today, but only as we can abandon ourselves to Him, only if we yield ourselves, our lives to His leading, only to that extent will we begin to experience its infilling and power. We can sit here today and we can stubbornly say, that's not for me. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He said, verily, verily, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. I didn't write this. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But I'm a good person, Pastor. Have you been born of the water and of the Spirit? I didn't put this in there. You say, oh, I don't like what you're having to say. I don't like what I hear. But you know what? That is the Word of God. I can't change that, and every one of us are going to be judged someday by what's in this book, not what's said across the pulpit by somebody's opinion. So we read in Ephesians 5:8, Paul is talking, and he says, and be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In text in Ephesians 5:18, it's saturated with truth. It's an imperative mood. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. There are commandments in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. When you look at this sentence, it has a present tense verb that says we are to be filled with the Spirit now. Now we are to be filled with the Spirit. It is a continuous action verb that literally says keep on being filled with the Spirit. What Paul is trying to tell us is he's trying to say, listen, you may have been baptized, you may have repented, been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and maybe you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time. And maybe you're trying to convince yourself that maybe there's something wrong with you, or maybe I only have to do it once. Listen, Pentecost is something you can experience every single day. I don't even like comparing it to Disney because Disney is just so out there. But it's like, okay, it's like you can go in and have ice cream every day as much as you want. You want sprinkles, you want chocolate chips. I mean, the Holy Ghost is there every day. So if it's been months since you've spoken in tongues, change that today. It's a continuous action verb. It says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It is in the passive voice. The reference is not to something we do, but something that is done for us when we are yielded and open. We can experience new and fillings of the Spirit anytime, any place, day or night. We can experience Pentecost. It is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It is not something that just happened to the New Testament on the day of Pentecost and it never happened again. It happened continually throughout the book of Acts. It happened continually throughout the rest of the New Testament. It's referenced and spoken about. The Holy Spirit is for us today. Our musicians can come and you can stand to your feet this morning. You see, we can experience this every day. We can experience Pentecost. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And after times of good fellowship with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, like-minded Christians, like-minded believers, after gaining new insights, sometimes we come and we're limited in our knowledge and our wisdom of the Scripture, and a message is preached and it opens up our minds and our hearts to a whole new avenue. That's just how God works. It's like you're just a little bud on that rose bush, and that bud begins to grow and begins to expand, and it's fed with the moisture of the Word, and it begins to open up and blossom. You see, after confessing and forsaking sin and repenting, you say, I haven't spoken tongues in a long time, Pastor. Have you repented? When's the last time you repented? Sometimes it's real easy to get caught up in our own pride. Same Holy Spirit at Pentecost is available to us today. So today, yes, today, you can experience Pentecost. So if you're here today and maybe you've never spoken, maybe you've never repented, I want to encourage you. You say, well, Pastor, this is all new to me. I'm a little bit reluctant. Start off with repentance. If you got frustrated life and life is just beating you up, I just want to open up this altar. I'd say open it up. I just invite you to come down to the front of this altar. We have folks here that have gone through all kinds of struggles in life. We have folks here that had marriage struggles and had health struggles and financial struggles. Listen, we're all struggling in life. Nobody's life is perfect here. We're all struggling. We're all battling something. But you see, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us. So you can experience Pentecost. If you've never spoken in tongues before, maybe you've never repented, you've never been baptized, I just want to invite you to come down to this side of the altar. Maybe you're just interested in baptism. Maybe you're just interested in repentance. I just want to invite you to come down to this side, okay? And
the middle here, we have a lot of folks that have been dealing with illnesses. They've been dealing with all kinds of struggles with their health. And I just want to encourage you. You don't have to live that way. And I want to encourage you to come to the middle here. The Bible says that we lay hands on the sick. James talks about this. Anointing with oil, laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I just want to encourage you, if you're sick in your body, to come just to the middle section here. And over here on my right, your left, maybe you've come to Calvary and you've been here for 20 years and you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time. Don't be embarrassed by that. I went close to 15 years. And it was just, I knew it was there, but I couldn't get on the same page with God. I had too many things in my own agenda, and I don't have time to go into all that today, but I know there are people here that are in that same situation. This isn't to embarrass you. It's to help you, to build you up, to get you through that dry spot in your life. And as our music, our worship team just begins to lead us into worship, I just want to encourage all of us today. Just lift your hands and begin to thank the Lord, begin to worship the Lord, and experience your own Pentecost. If we do that, just experience your own Pentecost.
God bless you. Holy Spirit, break down. Stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost here. I just want to, before we leave today, you can speak in tongues driving down the road. You can speak in tongues in the shower. I've known of people who have got the Holy Ghost in the shower, singing and worshiping God, and just start speaking in tongues. You could be sitting out in your lawn chair, quiet of the evening, just talking to God, and His presence can just come in so powerful, and you could just... doesn't have to happen at church. Doesn't have to happen at an altar. That's just so many times where it starts. Because we come because we're pricked in our heart. Something's calling us. Here at Calvary, we have a number of ways that we can connect. We have our elements classes. If you've never taken an elements class, it's just a very, it's a start. It's not everything all dumped in. It's not a comprehensive study of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It goes through every little secret passage and tying in all the prophetic words. It's a start. It's a how-to beginner's manual, if I could put it that way. And it's a first, it's a very important first step. So we have our elements class. We have our first steps class. I want to encourage you. That basically is exactly what that is. It's just, if you're taking your first step, how do I get involved here? We have out in our vestibule, we have home Bible studies. Maybe you don't know a whole lot about the Bible and you want to know more. Maybe you've been here for 10 years and you want to know more. You want to teach Bible studies, or you have a friend that one needs a Bible study, or a family member that needs a Bible study. Son, just go out there and talk. Brother Glenn Rossing and Brother Ted Karaski, Sister Carla, they'll be out there. Just talk with them. Get a Bible study going. Prayer meetings. The early church prayed together. This girl's about to get the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray. Lord, God, I pray right now. Isn't God good? All of these lessons we have available, they're all built on biblical doctrine. Acts 2:42, the Apostles' Doctrine. So take time today to get more involved. We have connection groups, Bible study opportunities in the vestibule. God bless you. Thank you for, it's good to see Brother and Sister Chapel and son Peter here today. So from Dodgeville, God bless you. Shake hands with a brother or sister. greet a guest, make that connection. God bless you. A very, very blessed day.